Oh, well, needless to say, there is some excitement in the air. We just went through our annual men's retreat, and today we're going to have an interesting way of doing services. We're going to have three different worship experiences today, and in our first service, I'm going to be asking Dwayne Moore to come up and share a little bit of his perspective. He was one of our breakout session speakers. But just to set the tone so everybody is on the same page this morning, every year our men go away for a retreat, And different years we do different things, and some years we do crazy things. And I think that our men believe that I am sadistic in nature and what I put them through. And we do some crazy stuff. You preach into that right there. Brian Lindorf said amen. And see, we do these crazy things, but they all have a point. And so if guys aren't pushed, I think that most people, not guys, girls, people in general, if they're not pushed in life, we tend to settle into our comfort zones. We tend to settle into the place of comfort, and that comfort, if we're not careful, leads to complacency. And so what we like to try to do at retreat is create an environment where guys can be pushed mentally, physically, and spiritually. And the end result, the net result, if we do it correctly, is that God has gives people an opportunity to have life transformation. And there's nothing more beautiful than to see men who sometimes, you know, guys are kind of hardened toward God because they, I don't know, somehow they feel like, you know, it's kind of like not a masculine thing to like worship God. And I told them, I know it's not natural. Like, you don't go around your house just probably singing to Jesus as loud as you can, right? And you don't go to your office building like, Jesus. I mean, people would think you're crazy, all right? But there is an environment where that is appropriate, and church, and when we have church settings, that's the appropriate place to, man, just let it loose. Just say, you know, I'm worshiping before God. And so for those of you that didn't get to go on our retreat, here's a cool thing. What I've learned in life is that I draw inspiration from experience. And sometimes it's through watching others. Sometimes it's through seeing others go through something. And I saw so much this weekend that dude, we have enough inspiration to last us for at least a couple of months. And so here we are this morning, and what I wanted you guys to experience is that from our experience out there at the retreat, that you might draw some same inspiration. So as we share some of the stories that we went through and some of the things, some of the activities that our men participated in, I think you'll understand the spiritual nature of it all. That men have to learn that this world is like a battlefield, that their marriage is a battlefield, that their parenting is a battlefield, that their careers are a battlefield, and the battle is not how much can I amass for myself. The battlefield is really how much glory can I gain for my God. And so I told the men that they had three things that I wanted them to learn this weekend. And it's the same three things that I want you to learn today. What I want you to think about today, that I said when you got to this retreat, you have something to leave. That we all have baggage that we carry around, and we have some stuff that we need to leave if we're ever going to move forward in our relationship with God. And then I told them there's some things that they needed to learn. And I guarantee you, there is in here, unless you're perfect, there is something for us all to learn this morning about what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And then the last thing I said is that there's something to lift. That once you are a Christian, once you are a child of God, He intends for you to lift your cross and to carry it as His disciple, to deny yourself and to prefer Him. And so that's what I want you guys to get out of this morning and the second service and the third service. If you want to stay for all three, you're welcome to do so. And so I'll be speaking in the second service, and then Pastor Lucas and I will split the third service. So at this time, I'm going to ask Dwayne Moore, would you come up here and take the stage and share a word? Would you guys welcome him to the stage this morning? Thank you, sir.
Well, as we... Test. All right. First of all, Pastor Tim, thank you. And there are probably any number of guys that could stand up here and share incredibly what God has done over this last weekend. And all of us are on our own journeys. We're experiencing a lot of different things in our lives. But I do think that there are some common threads that we also experience and share. And In order to kind of get us started, I asked him to kind of put together a little bit of a clip for us that kind of takes us back to some of the things we saw this weekend. So, Tim, would you?
You know, when you get old in life, things get taken from you. I mean, that's part of life. But you only learn that when you start losing stuff. You find out life's this game of inches. So is football. Because in either game, life or football, the margin for error is so small. I mean, one half a step too late or too early, and you don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. The inches we need are everywhere around us. They're in every break of the game, every minute, every second. On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch. We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the difference between winning and losing. And dying.
We claw for that inch. We live, we die for that next inch. As we came back from men's retreat, I was reminded of a passage of scripture that is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. It says that the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Those whose heart are completely turned over to the passion and the pursuit and the relentlessness of a relationship with Jesus Christ. As I went to this time, I had to ask myself some very tough questions. How much am I really pursuing God? How relentless am I really in this walk that I so boldly proclaim? And how real is it in my own life? I've realized that the fight for our hearts is a savage one. One, it's a war, and it gets bloody, and it costs us something. Every step that we take costs us something. Just like what the coach just said there, we are clawing for each inch. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 26. He said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And then these are the words that resonate with me. "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" You know, these words that Jesus said, "Whoever loses his life for me will find it." Do you know, this was so important that Jesus actually repeated this. It was found actually earlier in Matthew. And he said, this is important enough for me to, in case your knuckleheads can't get this through, I'm going to tell you again. And I'm glad he did, because I'm pretty knuckleheaded. Thank you. And the reality is this. We have got to get to a place where we're willing to relinquish whatever it is that is holding us back, whatever it is that is keeping us from clawing forward. Because the reality is this, we are clawing for inches. Sometimes we're just clawing for the wrong ones. And God, help us to get our eyes on the prize, to help us see what it is that is worth clawing for. Now, Tim asked us to just share some different things that impacted us. And I'm just going to be very honest with you. As I share, this is going to be a little bit more personal. And Forgive me if I get a little bit choked up, because the reality is this. This is going to be a little bit of a therapy session, so you're getting a bonus this morning. Not only are you being communicated to, but you're going to get a little therapy session from the one who is actually going through the therapy. So, but I've got a confession to make to you, and this confession is actually extremely difficult for me to admit out loud. And that is that I am someone who is, honestly, I'm just chronically prideful. I have an addiction to my own self abilities. I've been dealing with this for quite a while. But what happens when you are able to just do things yourself, what that ends up doing to you is you isolate yourself. And when you isolate yourself, you open yourself up to a whole realm of other things in your life that you don't want. It affects your relationships. It affects your family. It affects everything that you are. And guys, I've realized that I have been absolutely isolated in my life because of my own self-abilities. I'm the guy that says, hey, no problem, I got it, I'll do it. And you'll never hear me say, there's not anything I can do wrong. In fact, I'm very well aware of my own shortcomings and failures. At the same time, I feel like that I have to just keep taking it on. God, over the last 3 weeks, has been dealing with this issue with me. But it was highlighted, and I had the opportunity to work with the very best in leaders in Doug Charles. Thank you, God, for putting Doug in my life during this time. And we worked pretty seamlessly together. I'd say we worked fairly well together, didn't we, Doug?
Amen.
But the danger in being a leader is that you have this tendency to prepare for other men, to prepare what they need, and you're asking God to help you see what is there for them. But, you know, having been in ministry in the past in my life and being in full-time ministry, that's the danger and the trap that you fall into is, while looking for everybody else's needs, you forget your own.
Come on, man. Preach.
I came into this camp, this retreat time, very much like that. While God has been dealing with me, I yet was not quite ready to accept it. Fast forward. Had a great camp. We had a great retreat. We've gone through this whole process. And we were getting down to the kind of that ultimate moment where we are carrying crosses. Doug and I team up and we walk with each of our men, and we had some great guys that we were able to encourage, and we just loved. And still do love, by the way. And we see the promise in them, and we see what God can do, and we're speaking into their hearts, and we're trying to encourage them to take that next step. And then it came time, and all of our guys had gone, and I looked at Doug, and I, thinking that he was going to be ready, I said, dude, you ready to go? And he kind of hesitated. I was like, okay, you don't want to go? That's fine. That's not a big deal. But I'm going to go. And he said, no. He said, I want us to go together. And he called it a little bit later when we had our breakout time. He said, I kind of stole your moment. And what I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't say this then, but what I'm going to tell you openly about before all is that you didn't steal my moment. You let God make it. And what happened in that moment? Because I recognize I'm not in the best of shape at this stage in my life, but I think most of you can look at me and see that I could probably pick this cross up. I could probably carry it several rounds back and forth. In fact, that's exactly what I did 3-4 years ago. And I really had in my mind, this is exactly what I'm going to do again. Because the way God worked in me in that time period was he worked in me, and I walked and I walked and I carried and I carried until I broke down. Until I couldn't walk anymore. And I remember Hollis was speaking into me that very time. And some of the things that you said to me during that time, I still remember today. And I'm thinking, this is what Dwayne needs to do again. I've got to get this broken down. I've got to do this. And God said, no, you don't. In fact, your ability to carry that cross is not at all indicative to your spiritual capability to carry the load. In fact, spiritually right now, Dwayne, you're not able to carry a paperclip. So I'm going to teach you a little lesson. I'm going to teach you a lesson that's going to break you differently than any way you've been broken before. I'm going to break you in humility. And it was one of the hardest things I had to do at that moment was to really kind of surrender to leadership that was being given to me. And I did, almost kind of fighting it. But as we're walking, I'm walking, and you know, the cross is designed to be a heavy load, right? That's what our Savior did. He carried all of the weight of our sins, all of the weight of our load, all of the things that we have done. He carried that for us. And we were doing this so that we could recognize exactly what Jesus has done. But you know what my experience was in this moment? It wasn't just Doug and I carrying. But the orange team came around and said, hey guys, we're gonna carry this with you. Do you realize by the time everybody else was carrying it, it didn't feel like I was carrying anything. And what God was trying to get across to me and say is, this load that you are carrying, Dwayne, each and every day of your life, you don't have to carry. You are not able. You will break down. But doggone it, if you'll just join in, if you will just connect, if you will just tie in, you need your brothers. You need your family. You are not alone, and you don't need to live as if you are. I came to grips with the fact that Jesus walked a very lonely road so that I didn't have to. And I don't know where you are. And the reality is this, whether you went to men's retreat or whether you didn't go to men's retreat, you know, we got half the group in here that didn't have a chance to go to men's retreat because you're women. But you know what? You can benefit all the same. And I am begging you to take the inches in front of you. To quit being self-reliant, thinking that you're going to handle the next thing, but instead turn it over and depend upon the graces that God has given to you through the people in your life that he's given to you and through the opportunities that he has provided to experience the very best. One final scripture that I want to just share with you. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 gives us a very clear encouragement as well as a very strong warning. We're told 2 are better than one. For they have a good return for their labor. For if either one of them falls, the one will lift his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, then two can resist him. And then I love this last phrase. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Men, we have been given a gift. I know I have. Not only the gift of having you here, but now the gift of understanding what I have. We have each other, therefore, a purpose. And God created this, created us for such a time as this. The war rages on, but we don't have to be overtaken by the war. Difficulties, struggles, trials are going to come, but they don't have to flood us over. And as I pray for you, I beg God to impress upon each one of your hearts the need to, first of all, link up in that threefold cord. You notice it said three, and the implication is two friends and a third that binds it all together. You know who that third is? It's Jesus Christ. And Jesus is ready to enter wherever you are. It doesn't matter if you're a teenager. It doesn't matter if you're a lady sitting here. It doesn't matter if you're a man who's young or a man who's older. It doesn't matter if you're single or have a family. It doesn't matter if you're in college or if you have a career. This principle is the same. We need each other. And the Savior, who is constantly there, calling us out, and asking us, will you just let me lift your load? Will you quit hanging on? Will you just let me carry it for you? I may send a brother or a sister to help carry it for you. Will you accept that? He's asking you. He's begging you to let go. Just let go. And grab hold of the one who has always loved you, always known you, and will always, always have a plan for you. Father, I come to you right now, and I beg, for the souls of each person who's here. God, I plead that you would break down the walls of self-reliance and pride. That you would keep us from going down this road of self-reliance and thinking that we can do it and thinking that we can pull this thing off. Because the reality is, God, while it may look like we're fooling the world and we may even fool ourselves for a little while, God, we know that we cannot do this on our own. God, we need you and we need each other. God, help us all to trust you, to turn to you, and to accept all that you're ready to give. In Jesus' name, amen.